Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
My grandma is 92, and she refuses to go to a retirement home. Last year, my brother Andy and I decided to move in with her to make sure she didn't hurt herself. It was a difficult situation for both of us, but we loved our grandma very much. We weren't allowed to change much about her house when we moved in, but I made sure to upgrade her TV so that we could watch Netflix. I had a pretty busy job, so I didn't have time to watch a lot of movies. But Andy was home a lot more than I was, and I knew that he had his favorite shows that he always binged. One night, I came home from work while Andy was out with some friends. I checked in on Grandma, who was asleep in her room as usual, and decided to check out Netflix. I was scrolling through the movies when I noticed something weird. There were dozens of half-finished documentaries in the continue watching queue.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I knew that Andy usually preferred stupid comedies, and I'd literally never seen him watch a documentary before. I started going through the titles and realized that every documentary was about people murdering their family members. It was the kind of true crime stuff that I'd never really seen before. One was about a wife poisoning her husband. Another was about a daughter murdering her parents and then hiding the bodies. But most of them were about children and grandchildren killing off their elderly relatives so they could get their inheritance. At first, I didn't think much of it. I know that when people are binging TV shows, they sometimes go down these weird rabbit holes and end up watching things that you wouldn't expect them to watch. But the more I thought about it, the more unnerved I got. This didn't feel like innocent binge watching. It felt like research. The only explanation I could think of was that Andy was planning on murdering our grandma. We both knew that we were the only beneficiaries in her will. Grandma had a lot of money saved up, and once she died, we'd inherit the house along with millions of dollars. I never would have thought that Andy would be sick enough to hurt someone like our grandma, but just in case, I decided to keep an eye on him. For the next few weeks, I spent more time at home. I started noticing little things like how Andy always made grandma's meals and organized her medication. While I offered to help, he refused. He really seemed like he was hiding something. I never said anything to him or grandma, but I noticed grandma would always glance at him suspiciously whenever he gave her the nightly pills. I also saw that he was watching more of those true crime documentaries on Netflix, though he never watched them when I was in the room. I just saw them pop up in the watch again and continue watching cues. I really should have said something, but I was honestly getting a little scared. One night, I came home early from work and decided to talk to Grandma. I kept things pretty vague, but I asked her how she was feeling and if something was bothering her. She told me that she could barely get out of bed and that she always felt worse after she took her medications. That's when I knew Andy was slowly poisoning her like in those documentaries. I kissed her on the forehead and told her that everything would be okay. About an hour later, Andy got home and walked straight into the kitchen. He didn't realize that I was there. I watched him as he fixed Grandma her tea and organized her pills. When he was finished, I told him that I could take everything up to Grandma's room. He refused, so I made up an excuse about having car problems and asked him to go check it out in the garage. I knew that that would keep him distracted long enough. He hurried outside, which gave me enough time to dump out her tea and make a new cup myself. I also took out the pills that he put on her plate and replaced them with the new ones from her medicine box. I figured that if Grandma didn't get sick that night, then I know that Andy was poisoning her. I had just finished pouring her replacement tea when a voice shouted at me from the hallway.
"What are you doing?"
I turned around and saw Grandma glaring at me. I told her that I was just getting her pills ready, but she didn't listen. She started charging toward me.
"You're the one poisoning me! I thought it was Andy, but it was you all along!"
"No! I would never..."
"I saw you! You dumped out my tea and replaced it with poison! You're just as bad as those psychos on TV!"
That's when I realized the truth. Grandma was the one watching those documentaries when we weren't around. Andy was never trying to kill her. She just thought that he was. And now her suspicions had turned towards me. I tried to explain myself, but Grandma was hysterical. I'd never seen her move so fast. She slammed me up against the counter and reached around to open a drawer. She pulled out a butcher knife.
I thought you loved me.
Before I can move, she took the knife and slammed it straight through my hand and into the kitchen counter. It happened so fast, my brain couldn't register the pain at first. Then she punched me right in the face. I couldn't believe how strong she was for a 90-year-old woman. I tried to move out of the way, but my hand was pinned to the counter. I grabbed the handle of the knife and quickly pulled it out. Then I threw the knife across the room so Grandma couldn't grab it. I started to scream for help, but Grandma grabbed me by the throat and squeezed. I couldn't breathe. With her free hand, she snatched the cup of tea and started pouring the hot liquid down my throat.
Drink it. Drink your poison.
I coughed up as much as I could. I was slowly blacking out until all of a sudden, her hand let go of my throat. I fell to the floor, gasping for air. When my eyes could finally focus, I looked up and saw that Andy had returned. He was holding Grandma's arms behind her back. He ordered me to call the police. Andy struggled to hold Grandma in place without hurting her for about 5 minutes. When the ambulance finally arrived, they sedated Grandma and took her away. A paramedic bandaged my mangled hand. All this happened about 3 months ago. Since then, Grandma has been living in an assisted care facility where they've been giving her new medicine to help with her paranoia. Andy and I visit her every week.
Your flesh looks soft and tasty.
Well, if you don't subscribe to this channel now, I'm coming for you.
For as long as I can remember, my parents would go on a weekend getaway about every 3 months or so. I used to hate them because they would make me stay with my grandparents, but all that changed when I turned 16. They decided since I could drive, they could leave me alone for the weekend. They would always leave me some cash for food, and the house would be mine. I know most teenagers would take that kind of opportunity to throw a party, but I was never part of the cool, popular crowd. I was one of the weird kids in the robotics club who had bad acne. It was okay though, because my buddy Trevor and I devised our own ritual for these weekends. We would get stoned out of our minds and watch movies. My parents always left me 50 bucks for food. I used this to buy brownies from a sketchy kid at school. The rest we used to make sure we had good snacks for when the munchies hit later. Trevor would order and pay for the pizza as his contribution. Sometimes, the brownies were potent, and we couldn't move for hours. Other times, they were duds and we hardly felt a thing. It was a fun Russian roulette situation. I miss those nights. We would eat too much and laugh at things that weren't funny, but I guess all good things must come to an end. Our last weekend doing this started like all the others. My parents left right when they got off work and left me the money and a note on the table. Trevor came over when he finished his shift at the grocery store. We were pretty stoked for this weekend, because Trevor was able to score us some flour that we planned to smoke in his car. Even if the brownies were duds, we'd still be high. Trevor knocked on my door with some chips in hand, and we planned the night out. We would consume the brownies right away because they can take an hour or so to hit. And in the meantime, we would get high by hotboxing his car. I suggested we order the pizza before we went out and hotboxed, so it would arrive right when we finished the We timed it perfectly. As I inhaled, it scorched my throat and lungs, and I started coughing. Trevor giggled and told me that's how you know it'll work. He was right. After that first hit, I felt my eyes grow heavier and my mouth drier. I felt like Mac Miller was holding me in his arms, rocking me to the beat. I told Trevor this, and he said, "Dude, what?" and started laughing uncontrollably. "What do you feel?" I asked. Trevor was still laughing. He smoked with his coworkers a lot, so he was enjoying watching me smoke for the first time. "Good, man. I feel good." He continued to laugh. After the pizza man dropped our pizza at the door. We stepped out of the car, along with a cloud of smoke. Trevor and I looked at each other and laughed. We scurried back up to my house, grabbed a pizza, and were in for the night. "What do you want to watch?" I asked Trevor.
Let's just scroll through Netflix until we find something."
We scrolled through Netflix for about an hour before landing on something to watch. We kept getting distracted or would kind of blank out going through the movies.
"Dude, our pizza is getting cold. We just gotta pick something," Trevor said.
We landed on Pineapple Express. The movie started playing and Seth Rogen and James Franco went back and forth on the screen. As the two argued, I felt my brownie grow heavier.
"Trevor, when did we take the brownies?"
Trevor checked his phone.
"Like an hour and a half ago."
"Do you feel it?"
"I don't know,"
he responded.
"I feel it."
I started to laugh. I became transfixed by the movie, and the bites of pizza melted in my mouth. I'm not sure how much time passed, but I looked over at Trevor, and he was passed out on the couch with his plate of pizza on his chest. With his mouth open, he snored lightly. I took a picture. I looked back at the TV, and Seth Rogen looked at me. I laughed.
"Oh, whoa. Hey, man."
"Hey,"
Seth responded. I sat up.
"Hey, man, you need to check out your basement."
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
"What?"
I asked.
"There's a man down there. A squatter. You need to check it out."
"Is this real?" Seth laughed.
"I don't know, man. But I know you need to check your basement."
I woke Trevor up and looked back at the screen. The movie was playing like normal. I explained to him what happened. He said he never heard of someone having a hallucination from weed. I shrugged and convinced him to check out the basement with me. My parents and I never used our basement. It's unfinished, so we used it as storage for everything we refused to get rid of because we might need it one day. I usually avoid it at all cost. It just has bad vibes. We stood at the top of the stairs and looked down into the black abyss. Trevor motioned for me to go first. I used my phone as a flashlight until I reached the one light bulb hanging from the ceiling. It was a maze of boxes and dust. We started to make our way around the boxes when we heard a scrapping noise.
"What the hell?"
Trevor said. I had no clue what would be making that noise.
"Maybe the window's open?"
Trevor rounded a corner and immediately backed up. His face was pale, like he had seen a ghost. In the quietest whisper, he said,
"There's a man."
I shoved him behind me so I could look, and he wasn't playing around. In the back corner, nestled between our Christmas and Halloween decoration boxes, was a man who looked about 50 with a long braided beard and no shoes. His feet were so calloused, I guess he didn't need shoes. I turned back to Trevor.
"He has a machete!"
Somehow, the man didn't hear us, so we crept back upstairs to get a baseball bat. Trevor called the cops, and they said they would be there as soon as possible. I don't know what compelled me to go back down. Filled me with courage or something. I grabbed my metal baseball bat and descended back down the stairs despite Trevor's protest. I walked to where the man was and confronted him.
"Hey!"
The man looked up at me and grunted. His eyes were wide and bloodshot. "What are you doing here?" He grunted at me again. He stood up and picked up his machete.
"What do you want?"
The man grunted and pointed his machete at me, and with his other hand, used a thumb to trace a sharp line across his throat. He was going to kill me. At this moment, all the courage left my body, and I ran back up the stairs. The man grunted and chased me. He almost got me, but I made it up the stairs and slammed the door in his face. Trevor had to help me hold the door shut. The squatter was surprisingly strong for someone who looked like they hadn't seen the sun in months. Sirens and red and blue lights filled my house. The cops arrived.
We had to yell for them to come in because we couldn't abandon the door since the squatter was still trying to push it open. The cops came in and saw what was happening. They lifted their guns towards us and motioned for us to step away. We listened, and the man came rushing out of the door with a crazed look in his eyes. The cops had no choice but to shoot him down. After the cops took our statement and someone took away the body, we went back down to the basement. The squatter's corner was rancid. The man had created an entire camp down there. He used a Halloween jack-o'-lantern as a toilet, and there were dozens of empty bean cans. It looked like he had been there for months. My parents were furious to hear I was getting high when they went out of town, so I was no longer allowed to stay in the house alone for a weekend. I'll never know if the squatter planned to come out of the basement to kill me, but I still think Seth Rogen and the brownie saved my life.
I came home to visit my parents for spring break. Hadn't seen them since I started college, but we texted every day. They were expecting me on Sunday, but I was able to get back a day early. I texted my mom about the change of plans, but she didn't respond. When I got there, the house was empty, even though both my parents' cars were still in the driveway. I looked around the whole house, but they weren't there. Then I called mom again. Still no answer. I kind of felt like an intruder in my own home. I went into the kitchen to get some food when I noticed a note on the fridge. It said, "Dear Andrew, we had to leave and we're not sure when we'll come back. Sorry." Right away, I got this horrible feeling. The letter didn't look like either of my parents' handwriting. And worst of all, they never called me Andrew. They always called me Drew. I knew that someone else had written the note. I tried to calm myself down. I told myself that they probably had to hurry off somewhere and they asked someone else to write the note for them. I assumed it was their next-door neighbor Maria, who always had been like a second mother to me. Just in case, I decided to go next door and ask. I walked to Maria's house and knocked, but a stranger opened the door. He was a tall man with neck tattoos and a really angry expression. He asked me what I wanted. I asked if Maria was home, and he said, "Well, you must be Andrew. You're here early." Then he explained that Maria had moved out. He had just bought the house. He didn't tell me his name, though. I knew that something wasn't right. I could see into the house behind him, and all of Maria's family photos were still up on the walls. He saw how nervous I was and told me to go back home and wait for my parents to return. I tried to ask him if he knew anything about where they were, but he just slammed the door in my face. I went back home and made sure all the doors and windows were locked. After that, I just sat on the sofa. I had no idea what to do. After a while, I thought of something. I pulled out my phone and opened my Facebook. Maria was my Facebook friend, so I figured that if she'd moved, she would have posted something about it. Instead, I saw a bunch of messages on her wall from different friends asking where she was and why she wasn't answering any calls. Well, now I was getting really worried. My fingers trembling, I closed Facebook and started to dial 911. But before I could finish the call, I heard someone unlocking the front door. I hoped that my parents were coming back, but when the door opened, I saw that tattooed man from next door. Why did he have a house key? He walked in like he owned the place. He turned toward me, smiling. "I'm glad you decided to stay," he said. "Who are you? What do you want?"
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
He slowly stepped forward, still smiling. He didn't have any weapons, but he was at least 50 pounds bigger than me. I started to back away, but he kept coming. He got really close to my face and whispered, "Do you want to be taken to your parents?" I still had no idea what was going on, but I knew that this man was dangerous. He probably took my parents, just like he'd taken Maria. But why? What was his plan? I tried to be brave.
No!
I shouted.
Just tell me where they are!
He shook his head, still smiling. He said that he couldn't explain what happened. He'd have to show me. By then, fear was taking over. I was frozen in place. I still had my phone in my hands, but I was too afraid to call 911. I knew that if I moved at all, he'd attack. You have 5 seconds, he said. Come with me. Then he started counting down. I didn't say anything. 5, 4, 3. When he reached 1, he growled, too late. And then he jerked forward and grabbed me by the throat.
He was so strong. I started to choke. Without realizing what I was doing, I started clawing at him.
Then,
I slammed my cell phone against the side of his head.
That must have surprised him because he stumbled backward. I grabbed a nearby lamp and slammed it into his face. His nose started bleeding. I couldn't believe that I had the strength to fight back like that. I stood over him as he fell to the floor. My phone had fallen during the struggle, so I grabbed it and ran for the front door. Behind me, I could hear the tattooed man laughing hysterically. I could have kept running, but I stopped and turned around. The man was sitting on the floor, blood rushing out of his nose. He reached into his pocket and pulled out a knife. Then, without saying anything, he took the knife and stabbed himself right in the neck. I watched in horror as he started to bleed out. And the last thing he said was,
I guess you'll never know what happened to them.
Then he stopped moving. I stepped onto the porch and called 911. The police station wasn't too far away. 2 cop cars pulled up in less than 5 minutes. They ran inside and saw the dead man in the living room. One officer stayed behind and asked me what happened. I was so overwhelmed that I couldn't speak. She helped calm me down, and then I explained everything. After that, the police searched both houses, but they couldn't find anything. They assured me that they'd figure out who this man was and what he'd done to my parents. That night, I went to my friend's house and stayed the night. I'm still waiting for answers, though. It's been 3 weeks, and the dead man still hasn't been identified. I don't know who he was or what happened to my parents. And worst of all, I don't know if the man was working alone. Deep down, I'm scared.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I think that my parents are gone. My friends, please tell me what could have happened to them.
What's up, Foos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me, about to get them, all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.